what? I'm going to let Jan in Mountain View filibuster. Oh, yeah, Lynch is working. Lynch is working.
I think they were chopping it up.
He was at a lot of Ohio State games this year. I know he was at Ohio State. I want to say Ohio State, Indiana. He was on the field before the game, staring at all those big offensive linemen, maybe the big defensive linemen. But he was at Ohio State. John Lynch is working, man. Big draft for the 49ers. I feel really good about them. They're going to be back, folks. They'll be back in contention next season. I feel really confident about that. Jan, Mountain View. Jan, good morning.
Good morning. I'm just real happy about that win last night. And as far as I'm concerned, if they were going to match salaries, I would trade Draymond. I mean, last night I heard on the broadcast where, and I hate to say it, but, OKC went through the same thing that the Warriors went through for years. And look at them now. They got 15 first-round picks going into the next season, and they're stacked. And they are, they're like the Warriors used to be. And they're going to have to give up some of those good players because of the CBA and so on. But I think where the rubber meets the road is we have to face that. We have to enjoy this team while we have it.
Yep. Jan, were you watching the pregame show yesterday?
I sure was.
Oh, so you heard us talking. You were breaking down the OKC Thunder. Yeah, we were giving you some intel, huh?
Well, that's what fans don't want to hear. They don't want they want to trade the good parts for something else that you don't know that you're going to get. Just because they're great on another team doesn't mean they're going to be great on this team.
Thank you,
they
Jan.
Have to get used to the system that Kerr runs, mm-hmm. just like Schroeder had to find out. And look at him now. He's starting to play like we were hoping he would play. And I saw Draymond on that bench last night jump up after several, key plays by Looney and by even Slo-Mo. And I thought to myself, well, this character, he's over there. He's injured. He's more injured than Kuminga. And we had Kuminga in there if he didn't sprain his ankle or had that high ankle sprain. And son of a gun, that's the person, or he has to come off the bench and Kuminga has to start. I'm sorry, but we have to start and have these younger players learn off the veterans. But
no, Jan, you make a lot of good points, Jan. You're obviously tapped into Warriors basketball. She's locked in. She's locked all the way in. And the thing with OKC, and I asked Mully and Fezzi this question, I asked you this, Jasky, don't be cracking jokes about Auntie Jen. Don't do that.
I didn't even talk about that.
What are you doing over there? A little small talk with Spinotti.
I wasn't responding.
You snitching. Shasky was saying, who knows? Shasky, focus.
Because I want you guys to know,
he's the show.
We were also just saying how much we like Jan as a caller, because we can't say it when she's spitting facts.
Yeah.
We're just relaying it.
You should have said it on air. You can say that on air.
We're saying it right now.
You don't need to keep that a secret.
Well,
Jan about you. You're a great caller.
She's one of the all-timers.
She is an all-timer. I love Jan. She freaks up. I learn something every time she calls. She's tapped in. And she made a great point. We could talk about OKC being loaded. Everybody, look at OKC. Look at all this. Well, could you handle 5 years of losing, Warrior fans? Could you handle 4 to 5 years of losing?
I mean, we handled 17.
They had no expectations. We have expectations now.
Warrior fans can barely handle 4 to 5 days of losing these
days. There's expectations now in the Bay Area, which I love. But the bar has been reset. And the setting has been reset to, you better be competing for something. And Jan was cooking because it took OKC a long, long time.
Okay, so let's play this out then in our heads. I'm going full dramatic hypotheticals.
Yep.
I trade away everything. Everything, B, and it is just Kuminga, Guy Santos, Quentin Post, Curry, and G-Leaguers. How much better is the team that they have currently than that team?
How much better are they?
What's the win differential for the rest of the year?
Oh, they're not. I'm winning a lot of games, Shasky. They're not winning a lot of shit.
Say those players again,
okay.
Shasky.
So Kuminga, let's say, in this hypothetical, team that you have right now, you make no moves, all right? The reverse is, and how many wins does that team get you? I don't know. I really don't know. The reverse is, I'm going deep into this. This is just a hypothetical proposition. Guy, Steph, Quinn Post, Kuminga, all G-Leaguers. in Pajemski, what's the win differential?
Oh, you're not winning nearly as many games as you would right now if you said that.
Are we talking 5 games? Are we talking 10 games?
And this why don't have to, we may be talking about a 15, 20 game difference.
How many games are left?
They play 47.
Okay, so we got about 20-something games. I mean, 37 games. Okay.
37. Let's go 37.
So 37.
35.
Okay, let's say 35. 35. Their record,
let me figure this out really quick.
If they stand pat, their record is what? Probably around 500, right?
20-15. I'll give them 20-15. If they traded in your hypothetical and had those G Leaguers with Steph and company, in those 35 games, I think they're 10-25.
Okay.
That's my opinion. I mean.
Okay.
But also the question is, if you do blow it up, how patient are you going to be during a rebuild? That's the other question. Nobody wants the answer. Because OKC, they had to be patient. Now, the expectations are different in Oklahoma City than they are right now in the Bay Area.
Are we more patient with 500 or are we more patient in rebuild mode?
I don't know.
Because I think the Giants have found out the last couple of years, right, trying to be in 500 mode while rebuilding is, we have zero patience for that.
No.
But, like, if you just hollowed the whole thing out, like with the Niners, we just tuned out, and then they were good again. And we were like, all right, we're back.
Another note here with the OKC model is, let's not forget, you got to draft well, and they didn't draft Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
No, they got him from the Clippers.
Yeah, so Clippers. You need a little bit of those things to happen as well if you want to get back to that point. Right. Which, I mean, you could say that about every team. I mean, you need the Timberwolves to pass on Steph Curry 2 times in a row to be where we're at now. So you need those moments, but that's part of the equation, I guess.
You are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and AC1. San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Mayor Daniel Lurie will join us in 30 minutes on the Morning Roast. The mayor of San Francisco, Daniel Lurie, as he gets ready for some big events happening in the city over the next year or two. You got the All-Star Game, NBA All-Star Game. You got the World Cup. What else? We got Super Bowl 60. There's a lot going on in the Bay, not to mention all the conventions that we usually have in the city. Who's the winner? Chris Joswick. Chris Joswick. Look, yeah. I'm telling you, look these guys up. Make sure they're not hoopers.
So,
right?
I guess the exercise.
I don't have the scouting reports on.
No, I need you to get these names, Google search, and see who these guys are.
I like the surprise.
No, I want a scouting report on a knockout tournament, Shask. I'm trying to win the damn trophy. I want to win.
You didn't have a scouting report last year. You did fine.
I just walked in to tell people who's coming in second. My trash talk got me to the Final Four. I don't think that's going to work this year.
Just up that a little bit.
I don't think that's going to work this
season. You just got to worry about Grandy.
Not really. No, do you partake in the knockout tournament?
I think I am this year. Yes.
Wow, you should.
I just see my jumper.
So, like, I guess where I'm going with my entire analogy is that this fan base, the algorithm for the fan base in terms of happiness, there's winning, and then everything that's not winning, I'm talking about winning big, is not good enough. And so, like, I see a text right now from the 510. Playing 500 isn't losing. See, for this fan base, 500 is losing. And that's where the calibration is, because when you have Steph Curry, 500 is not acceptable. Yeah. And fair or not, that's tanking, just the way we are.
But it's tanking acceptable.
I think they're almost identical, rebuild. I guess, is the way they're perceived.
I remember the 15-50 season during the pandemic, and that was a long year. 15 wins, watching games that you knew they had no shot at winning. That was painful. And I get it. Oh, yeah, we went through 14 years. Yeah, we were kids and we were young and we went through that. Who the hell wants to go through that again?
Well, you're not charging 15 year ago prices before you were good either, right? Like, there's also season ticket packages and, you know, the cost of doing business now because of the team and because of what the team is promising a lot of their consumers is different. You know, that might change over time, but I'm talking about right now.
I don't know, man. I don't know what the... How patient people are going to be here.
We're not. We're not going to be patient.
We're not going to be
patient. We're not patient.
How about with this? Adam Silver, let's get this out the way before Daniel Lurie, before I forget, because I always forget things and we don't get back to it. Like, hey, we're going to get the Larry Bear. We always forget. Adam Silver was on the Dan Patrick Show.
Okay.
And he discussed maybe shortening the game. I want to get your opinion on this. Could we start to see 40-minute basketball games? Really?
I'm probably in a minority. As we get more involved in global basketball, the NBA is the only league that plays 48 minutes. And I am a fan of four 10-minute quarters. I'm not sure that many others are. I mean, putting aside what it means for records and things like that, I think that a two-hour format for a game is more consistent with sort of modern television habits. I don't think people in arenas aren't asking us to shorten the game, but I think as a television program, being 2 hours, that's Olympic basketball, is 2 hours, you know, college basketball, of course, is...
Yeah, but if you like it, I'd say it has kind of a little bit of a push there.
Yeah, it's such a dramatic change to the game. I mean, I think something like that would have to be talked more about.
What do you think? 10-minute quarters?
I know my opinion. What's your opinion?
No, I want to hear your opinion.
Well, my opinion is, I like, everyone's going to lose their minds. Don't pretend like we hold basketball statistics up in a high regard like we do baseball ones. And I think that the reality is that the percentage of people in the arena versus the percentage of people that are at home on their couch watching is disproportionate. You're making, the league is worth billions of dollars because of the billion-dollar television deals. I know we think it's sports, but really it's television entertainment, right? Like that's what everything is viewed through, that lens. And as crazy as this sounds from everyone, and I understand there's going to be a lot of pushback, I think this is smart. And what I mean by smart, he's acknowledging the fact that this is a television consumer sport now. And if you appease people who are watching on their couch, not at every single turn, but if you understand it is a product being consumed and that the number one currency in the modern day, as consumer trends change, my time and the sense of urgency, which goes back to, will I carve out time to watch you? Those are the two most important factors in life right now.
You even want 40-minute games in the playoffs?
I don't know. I've never thought that the games, quote unquote, went too long. But yeah. I do believe on some level, if we're looking at load management, if I'm looking at my calendar as a whole, if I'm looking at trying to fit into television windows, as I see a Warrior game start at 7:30 at night on a TNT package.
Starts at 7.
Well, sometimes it'll start late, right? Because the game before bleeds off, maybe. And you have a lot of kids like who are in grammar school who go to bed by 8:30, 9 o'clock. Like, there's something to be said for trying to fit into television windows. Do I think it's going to change the overall product of the game being played? No, you got to tweak some of the rules and stuff like that, which I'm open to. But to me, this is smart. Like, this is smart business. Baseball tweaked some of their stuff. The games are better. They're quicker. They're moving faster. And there's going to be some unintended consequences that would go with it. I think this is really smart. I do. And I know people are not going to like it, and I understand that. I don't hold minutes per game, points per game in high regard. I don't think it's going to dramatically change a lot of things. I think this is a smart acknowledgement of the television money that's being poured into the sport.
When I think about the NBA and their issues, I don't think 48-minute games are the issue. I think 48-minute games are fine. 12-minute quarters are fine. You get 10-minute quarters, maybe obviously you're going to have to lessen the fouls, right? You're going to have to It's going to have to be 5 for a foul out instead of 6 for a foul out. I do think you mess with some of the scoring averages, and there's no direct correlation, I think, to load management by playing 48 minutes as opposed to 40. Guy could still bust his hamstring in 40 minutes. What if he's going harder in these 40-minute games? Well, he's going harder and using more energy. He still may get hurt. So I don't think injuries, per se, is going to change much. Teams are still going to load manage. Now, I do like the prospect, and the owners, Mully said this last night, I 100% agree with them. The owners are never going to give up these games for gates, reducing the games, going from 41 to, say, 35 home dates and having 70 games in the regular season. That's not going to happen. It's just not. Owners aren't going to agree to that. But when I look at an NBA, I'm thinking to myself, 48-minute quarters. Now, the end of the games are too long because of all the foul calls and the official reviews and the referees not having control. They need to fix that. But 10-minute quarters are just going to zoom by. Like, I think we're learning that baseball is like, damn, you blink up, it's the seventh inning already. Now, it may be a better television product, but at the same time, some of these games just breeze by. You're like, man, do we even break a sweat here? So I don't know about 48-minute, going from 48 minutes to 40. Now, I worked at FIBA. It was an exciting product in FIBA. I get it, and I get what Adam Silver's trying to do for the television product because people are impatient, don't want to sit in front of their television for 2.5 hours. If you can do it for 2, great. But once you start doing it for 2 is going to be too long for people. You get it, what I'm saying? So I just don't know. I understand what Adam was saying here, but I don't think that's the biggest issue in the NBA right now.
I don't think he's saying it is the biggest issue. I think what he's saying is that's just one of the, on the surface, tweaks that he could do to the league right now. And I think it's smart. I think it's smart acknowledging that it's more of a television product than an in-game, right.
You know what? If the games are good, people will sit around for 2.5 hours. They would. I think what the problem with the NBA is the lead into some of these games, especially on ESPN, with some of their pre- and post-game shows. It's not the host and the talent fault, but some of the talking points, I'm thinking to myself, that's what we're discussing during a game? We're talking about you know what I'm saying? The presentation needs to be better, yeah, I believe.
Think about if you're a Warrior fan, right? Just forget the other teams. You're a Warrior fan. All right, you got a family, all right? Like you're coming to and from work. Your kids are probably doing other activities, right? So you're bouncing around. Like, people don't have the time to sit down for 2.5 to 3 hours, and it's the same thing with baseball, every single night and glum over. So if you want to capture the largest audiences, shortening it does make it more consumable. I just think it's more of a reality modern era.
When you bring up the family aspect of it, we've had families in America for a number of years.
Yeah, but viewership is down.
Viewership is down. But also, I don't know if are we accurately finding the numbers from the streaming devices, from the YouTube TVs, from the NBA ticket, from the NBA TV, I should say, League Pass. I don't know, man. Like, we all agree with radio ratings. Like, we talk about it all the time. We don't know if they're accurate or not. So I don't know if these television, like, one day they're telling me a women's college basketball game is the highest rated program on ESPN ever. Then we do the research. It's like, wait, it was number 52. It wasn't number one. So it was just, I don't know if these ratings are real or whatnot, but you know what? 48-minute games, we're going to really squeeze it and go to 10-minute quarters? I guess you'll see the stars a little bit more. I guess that's one plus to it.
Well, like, you know, you do the math. I mean, you carve off 8 minutes a game, right, times the 82 games for the season. That does add up, right? That does add up to, you know, because we talk about playoff minutes and things like that. Like, I think it does. That's probably, what, 10 to 15 games a year if you just added up all those minutes. So they're
656 minutes total.
What is it?
So 8 minutes off each game, 82 games, that's 656 minutes total.
Now divide that again by, 48.
Like 13 games or something, 13 and a half games.
What is that what it is, 13 and a half? So that's a lot of quote-unquote game minutes, right? So yeah, maybe it changes how you utilize your roster.
Yeah, and these guys get the best treatment in the world. They got pride. You know, I get traveling is hard, but they've never traveled better.
Yeah, but Steph Curry and Joel Embiid, for two different reasons,
I hear you.
Don't ever play in back-to-backs.
I hear you, but to say that people don't have the time, if you commit to watching a basketball game, you're committing to seeing it through. And then a lot of those people who watch the basketball game love to watch the post-game show. So I don't buy the notion that we don't have time anymore, we got things to do. You choose what you want to do. You choose what. Like, these football games are lasting. We're on our cast for 7 hours. That, to me, for the first time in my life.
Football's different.
It is different this whole week. But even then, I'm thinking to myself, damn, I've been on the couch for 7 hours watching two games. What the hell am I doing?
Bonte.
You know?
The AFC Championship game had the lowest, the NFC Championship had the lowest viewing forever. It would have been four NBA Finals games combined.
No doubt.
For the viewership that they have, five, six. Like, the NFL's different. It's just different. Sense of urgency. And so, I don't know. I look at this. I think the fact that they're acknowledging this, obviously the three-point line, style of play, the way the game's officiated, all those other things need to be looked at too. I don't think it's the dumbest thing in the world. And I think anybody, if I just pulled 100,
no, it's not the dumbest thing in the world. No, I don't think that
I think
either.
If I just pulled 100 fans going in, nobody knows who's the all-time leading assist guy. Nobody really knows, like some people do, who's the all-time scoring leader. Well,
they know LeBron.
Leader.
They know LeBron is the all-time scoring leader, and John Stockton has a lot of assists.
I don't know. It's not like the other sports in terms of, like, right now, I don't think a lot of people know Peyton Manning has the most touchdowns in a single season. You know what I mean? Like, a lot of the statistics, baseball's married to their stats, and I think that's one of their problems for evolving.
Well, this is a break here. We'll take Chris and Caleb on the other side. Plus Daniel Lurie at 9:30. Good conversation here. That's what's coming up. Brought to you by, continuation of this conversation will be brought to you by